their determination, Nietzsche believed, to extol virtues that were, in fact, nothing but weaknesses. What was required was great determination, great will, heroic sacrifice, moral courage, in order to move beyond these traditional notions of good and evil. Needless to say, Nietzsche's writing in the late 19th century lent itself to enormous misunderstanding and misapplication. His invocation of Übermensch, of supermen, would clearly be drawn upon several generations later by the National Socialists in Germany, misinterpreting what Nietzsche had in mind. Nonetheless, Nietzsche once again seemed to be part of a larger, almost scientific, artistic, philosophical assault on the traditional notions of European Christianity, your traditional morality, bourgeois morality, Christian strictures of behavior. It was not unusual in 1914, as German youth marched off to the great conflagration, the great battles of 1914 in the First World War, that many of them carried with them in their back pocket a copy of Also sprach Zarathustra, thus spake Zarathustra. Certainly churchmen and those members of the European middle class who concerned themselves with moral issues would not take very much comfort in the works of Friedrich Nietzsche. The arts also reflected an awareness of changing perception in this period, a move from realism in painting, actually realism in writing as well, that we'll come back and talk about probably in the at the beginning of the next lecture. At mid-century, European painting was still very much in the realistic school. If one thinks about the works of people like Daumier with his political cartoons and other paintings at mid-century, or even the work of Dickens, for that matter, in literature, also in the realistic mode, these were accessible, they were understandable. There was an emphasis on projecting and capturing an object on the canvas or on the page. But as the century progressed, there would be a move away from realism, a move away from attempting to capture an object and to represent it directly. In the visual arts, there would be the movement called Impressionism, in which the centrality of light, of immediate sense perceptions, was emphasized. The name Impressionism would come from a derisive critic who chastised these paintings seen at an exhibition because they were painting not the object itself, but the artist's impression of the object, which he thought was certainly illegitimate. If one thinks of the works of Manet, Monet, certainly Monet with the water lilies, these marvelous paintings of the interiors of the great train stations of Paris in the last decade of the 19th century and beyond, the repeated paintings of his garden, these lush water lilies. Monet believed that one had to paint them at different times of day because the light itself changed the nature of what was being seen, changed the nature of the object, and it was that changing light that was important. It was a relativity of perspective. Renoir also followed in the same sort of vein, if you recall Renoir's paintings, lush nudes, these pink hues, and so on, but always in this sort of soft light. Light, once again, being quite obvious in these Impressionist paintings. In fact, it was said of Renoir's paintings that the most important object or feature, character in each of the paintings, was not the person, the scene itself, but the light itself. And, of course, it was not just how things were being presented, but what? Renoir's glorification of the nude, and in a way that quite different from classical painting.